Whatever God has in store for you, the desires and dreams that we have, we make quality decisions. A quality decision is a decision based on the Word of God.
Right.
Not on that. That's a quality. And I was thinking about it a little deeper than that. I was thinking, even when I make a quality decision based on the Word, I have to, on top of that, make a quality decision to go through with that decision. Come on, somebody. I was thinking about that. I was thinking, now, Lord, when I make quality decisions, you know, then I have to make another quality decision on top of that to make sure that I carry forth in that quality decision that I made based on the Word of God.
Right.
Because if I don't, things will come up, and that decision will be changed based on circumstances. Hallelujah. But I heard of Barkley. What's his name? Mark T. Barkley. I don't know if y'all know him or not. But we listen to him every Sunday at the church. Most of the time, men preach to us. And he was talking. He's a pastor. He's a prophet pastor, and he was sitting with a prophet pastor. And they had a program going, and he made this statement. He said, whenever COVID left the place it came from, a spirit came with it. And I absolutely believe that. I believe it, and I was thinking about it. I pondered on that, what he said, you know, and I was thinking, well, that would make sense in light of, I know Satan. I know how he works, you know. He has demonic spirits assigned to your marriage.
Right.
He has demonic spirits spirits of infirmity, spirits of division, anger, all of these things, you know, that we feel in the atmosphere. I can get up and not feel good, and I make a choice right then. I say, I'm not yielding to this.
Right.
I get up and I feel like, sometimes I feel like everything's going wrong, things bad are happening. And I'll cast those thoughts down and I'll say, nope, not going to do it. I know that he works all things together for the good. See, that's a quality choice that me and you make based on the Word of God, not on what it feels like, emotions, demonic spirits. See, that's why people, they feel like they just can't take it anymore. So they make drastic choices that unsecures their future, their destiny, praise God. I don't always feel like I'm married, but I know I am.
Right.
I don't always feel like staying married, but I know I will.
Right.
Why? Because I make quality decisions based on the Word of God. And that decision is not based on whether I like the way my wife is, what she does, what she don't do, all of that, not based on none of that. Therefore, that quality decision in my life, I'm just making an example, brings in and ushers in God's grace and God's power in my stance. Why do I say, how do I know that? Because the Bible says that God watches over his word to what?
Perform it.
Yeah. Whatever word we put in and stand on, and you know, it's not like confess it one time and it's just going to work for you. I'm not saying it can't and it won't. But most of the time, it is standing on the Word of God. It is, I mean, making a quality decision. I mean, I made a quality decision that I'll never be broke again another day in my life several years ago. And I was broke and had money, broke and had money, broke and had money. And I made a quality decision. I made a quality decision based on the Word of God that the Bible says that he would supply all of my needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus.
Right.
Well, for me not to have enough money to get what I need is not supplied.
Right.
Come up, somebody, right?
Right.
Well, the Bible says that God, that he will supply all of my needs according to his riches. Well, if I'm not being supplied, it's not God's fault.
Right.
He said he would supply. So what do I got to do? I got to make a quality decision, bless God, to believe that God will do what that word said he would do and get that word, meditate on that word, meditate on that word. Say that word when I ain't got it up. Don't say, it ain't one thing happening, it's another thing happening. See, you've made a quality decision, but you're not following through when you're going through the motion and expressing how it is in the natural.
Amen.
you know, study today, I thought, you know, I've had COVID, I guess. Tracy them had Travis. Said about a lot of y'all, I don't know, you know. And I thought, all it did is made me stronger.
Amen.
Then the Omicron or whatever it is, go ahead, slap me with it. Because all it's doing is causing my natural immunities to fire up. And then when it gets fired up, it fights off other stuff.
Right.
On top of that, God put them in me.
Right.
On top of that, God put them in me, in you.
Right.
And so that's why if you stand on the word, no weapon formed against me will prosper, whether it's COVID, flu, monkey. You know, they say on there, after 50, you got shingles lying dormant in you. Well, I don't.
Amen.
I got them immune to it. Well, I mean, the doctor, no, the doctors don't know what I know. If they knew what's in me, greater is he that's in me. If they knew that if God be for me, who can be against? If they knew that, then they would say, yeah, it's just naturally it's there, but there's something in Christian. They ought to tell that. There's an antibody, and his name is Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. Hallelujah. See, the world wants to mold us to its image, its way of thinking.
Right.
And you know, when that spirit left and that spirit came out in, it's divided nations, it's divided churches, it's divided the body of Christ in a lot of ways. But you know what? This church right here, I come out and I said, if you've been vaccinated, don't get mad at us if we ain't, and we're not going to get mad at y'all. I was doing that on purpose because I seen that spirit of division trying to come to this part of the body of Christ, and I came in and stopped. And you know what? This church come out stronger, more united, more one.
Hallelujah.
We sure did. Guy today, and about everywhere I go, they talk about, you know, they did the government shut down their churches, you know, and all of that stuff. And then a lot of them shut down out of fear and, you know, afraid. And I put it on Facebook today. You know, if you've been around somebody sick, you know, just that, please stay at home. You can watch online services. Then I said, but I encourage everybody that can come to the house of the Lord, to the church, come. I'm not afraid of it. I'm not afraid y'all get it. Y'all got your faith up. And if it does come to your house, don't mean you didn't have no faith. All it means is you should have been on a ventilator. But you're back at church.
Amen.
No weapon formed against you prospered.
Hallelujah.
Prosper means you get bad sick. You can't go to work. You're about dead. You get in the hospital. None of the medicine ain't getting you no better. You feel like you're going to die.
Right.
Whatever attacked me Thursday night, I don't know what it was, don't make me no difference. Every name that has a name has the mouth. So I jumped right on it, and I started saying it out of my mouth, and I started telling my body, I started speaking to that thing and telling it, no weapon formed against me will prosper. You idiot, take this junk back where you brought it from. You're not going to affect my body. Now, I didn't feel good and all of that for that, but it didn't stop me one bit from doing what I was supposed to be doing. Didn't stop you one bit.
Glory to God.
Amen. Why? Because we make quality decisions. Not based on what the doctors say, the government says, our neighbor, even church people.
Right.
We stick with the Word of God. The Word of God says this and that. See, quality decisions, a quality decision really is putting God's word first, say, and final authority in everything.
Amen.
First say. That's the first thing you go to. Well, we got an unexpected meal. What are we going to do? No, first thing, go where? To the word. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? We don't know what we're going to do. That is not in the Bible.
That's right.
That is not in that Bible. If you don't know what to do, don't say it. Say, I don't know yet what God wants me to do. I don't know yet how we're going to come through, but God is a faithful God. God always comes through. See, now, if you don't believe that in your heart, you're going to have to start confessing that out of your mouth, get you some Bible in there to you really believe what you think. Every time somebody rips me off or something, I tell Satan, I sow it. I overcome evil with good. And I tell him, you can't break me with $300.
Right.
You can't break me with $1,000. You can't break me, Satan. Why? Because I made a quality decision that God will do what I believe for him to do. Luke 9:23 says, all things are possible to him that believes. Give me that Deuteronomy, Zach. Oh, he's feeling good. He's back up there looking sharp. Back up here, I didn't do his job well. They couldn't watch Sunday school. I got live stream, but I like one more click, so he's back. Y'all can get it now. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
They're sitting there waiting on Sunday school to start, man. And I'm back there thinking it's already kicking. Therefore shall he lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul. Your soul is your mind, your will, and your emotions. We got to renew our mind to the Word of God, that our emotions are in control.
Right.
That our mind is in control. Hallelujah.
Man.
Because we've renewed it with the Word. We've laid it up. He said, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest down in church. It's your house, don't it?
Yeah.
So it says it's your house.
Yeah.
I'm doing it for you right now. And you shall teach them to your children, speaking of them, when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and while thou risest up. He didn't say it on Sunday.
Right.
See, we got to be word people 7 days a week. We got to, and it is a challenge until you get to where that's normal.
Right.
See, you can come to a place to where it's normal for that word. First thing,
right.
Something happens, the word or the Holy Spirit quickens you, or the word comes to you. See, now when you get trained in the Word of God, renew your mind and trained in the Word of God, I mean, it'll just be automatic to turn to the Word of God. I don't know about you, but for me, it's automatic. I mean, I automatically go to the Word of God somehow.
Yep.
I mean, Teresa was telling me the other day, she's watching war movies and different things. And she said, I'm always analysis bringing the Word of God in. God seems to do that with her. She'll be watching something, and she'll get a Sunday school lesson out of it. But she was a 15 chapter a day reader for years. 15 chapters a day. I had to work. So I would have had to put in long hours to read 15 chapters. But you know, it caused her to be a work. Well, she stayed at home with Travis. She had to wash clothes. I guess in between clothes washing, she's downloading, she's reading, she got preaching, something. But she came out of being oppressed. I come in one time, she's in the closet. This is before we got saved. She's in the closet. And I found her in the closet with a candle lit. I'm like, what are you doing, man? I come in and she's crying. What's wrong? I don't know. She was just oppressed. Oppressed. So I get, what was that first grade book? Dick and Jane, but way back yonder. You got that book? So I started getting her books, like first grade books and stuff. And I don't know why I was doing it. I don't know why I was doing it. I was lost. I get stoned and I have that idea. How to help her. Well, did you know that was Jesus without me even knowing it and submitted, trying to help someone he loves? Well, I carry books in there to her, and it kind of starts helping her. So if you got a problem being oppressed, sweetheart, your mind is on too much dumb stuff.
Amen.
If you're born again, you have no reason to be oppressed. You have no reason to be depressed, or you have no reason, you know, to, I mean, the Bible says, whom the Son has set free is free. But now you got to make some quality decisions to come out of that. Once we got born again and I learned that we're to renew our mind, I thought, hey, man, that's probably what I was doing with those books, man. I was getting her mind off of whatever. So you can unconsciously carry yourself into oppression and depression. And you got demonic spirits there to help you.
Right.
Told Pastor, I made this example. Man, my pastor's going down the road, and I'm going to check this out one time, you know. We're going down the road, we're going to a pastor's conference. And we went to once a month for a year or so, whatever, every month, different churches. Going down the interstate, man, he just humming down there. I told him, I just sat there and I said, you know what, Brad? Yeah. I said, the devil told me you don't like me anymore. Well, I mean, the whole car changed. The atmosphere changed in there. You know? He's trying to think how to respond to that because I didn't laugh or look, you know. I said, but you know what? I quit listening to him a long time ago. And he, oh yeah, ooh yeah, we went on happy. See how one word can change an atmosphere?
Right.
One word came out of my mouth, caused him a reaction. What do I say? I mean, how do I respond to that? He might have been trying to think, do I like him or not? I don't know. But you know, Satan had told me that before. I just quit listening to him. Tell me one time, he said, Teresa don't love you anymore. Had that thought. Teresa don't love you anymore. I come back and told him, she better. I'm the best thing ever happened to her other than Jesus, idiot.
Right.
You know why I say that? Because I serve the Lord.
Yep.
I serve the Lord.
Amen.
I follow the Lord. Hallelujah. Any woman or any man is blessed to have a man or a woman that follows Jesus, number one. Because that person's going to be a spiritual leader. You know, going to the house of the Lord, not going to the house of the Lord is unhealthy spiritually.
Amen.
Just like, you know, I mean, just loading up on fast food all the time is not healthy for me. Physically,
right.
You know, not going to the house of the Lord or getting the wrong stuff is not good for us, healthy for us spiritually.
Right.
See, me and you are getting fed by the Spirit of God right now because we're in this anointed setting that God, it's not about what I know, all the revelation I have. It's really not about all of that. It's just me get up here, say whatever He's putting on my heart, out of my spirit to say, and the Holy Spirit feeds us and ministers to us and imparts into us that maybe we don't even realize while we're in this anointed setting until we leave and things begin to change in our life.
Right.
But he said here, and ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest down in the house and walkest by, when thou liest down and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the door post of thine house and upon thy gate. And when I first started out on this thing of renewing my mind, and I mean, the Lord woke me up. The first time I can remember how that I see renewing your mind, the Lord woke me up at 2:00 in the morning. I had to go to work at 5:00 in the morning. And the Lord, I just woke up like, I don't wake up like that.
Right.
You know, and I woke up, you know, and I'm like, man, what's that? And the Lord spoke to me. And he said, go read 2 Corinthians 10. 3:3. I could see it. 3:3-5. I'd never read that before. I get up and I go in there and I thought, man, I got to go to work, you know. And then I just had this impression on the inside. I said, Lord spoke to me and impressed me on the inside. You know, rehearse it over and over until it took me about 35 minutes. I want to go back to bed. But I took my mind, And I said, okay, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, and I would read it, 4, and I would read it, 5, and I would, and I didn't stop until I shut that Bible, and I said, 2 Corinthians 10, 3, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our flesh are not carnal, but mighty through God, for the police. I meditate on it until I knew it without opening that Bible. And for the next month, probably, I mean, every time something would come up, it says, casting down arguments, imagination, and those high things that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity. Boy, it changed my life. Those three verses in that Bible changed my life until today.
Amen.
That's what that means. I went in there and I took that book of God, and I mean, then I'm like, glory to God. And I mean, the more that I would think about that scripture and all, the more understanding that I would get, you know, of other scriptures in the Bible, praise God. But see, Satan wants us all caught up in trying. I mean, look, when you feel like you need a vacation from the things of God, you done getting weak spiritually.
Man.
See, wisdom, that's not wisdom. I mean, because we spend a lot of time away from the things of God, way more than we do about the things of God, if we really think about it. I mean, I go when I don't want to go and work and out of, you know, that's what I do. Gotta work. You know, I go and do all those things, and I'm not going to neglect the things of the Lord when I am really dedicated to that part. Should be. Man, don't work, you don't eat, the Bible says. That's what, you know, that's one of the things that built me to where I'm at today. I didn't know that I was going to be a leader of a ministry. I didn't know that I was going to be a pastor. I didn't know that I was going to the prisons and the streets and the jails. I didn't know that I was going to the nursing homes and the hospitals. I didn't know. You don't know what God's got in store for you. But even that, it really changed my whole family. See, we got to make quality decisions because of our destiny. There's appointed things for us that God has. There's a time that Jesus is going to come back, and ain't no praying going to stop him.
That's right.
There ain't nothing going to stop it. It's an appointed.
Right.
It's an appointed for man to die.
Right.
You cannot stop that cycle. Praise God. You know? There's coming a time when we're going to be caught up. A guy mentioned today, Ben Dave was on a job, and he was talking about people not coming to church, and there's a scripture come to me. And me and Teresa was talking about Sunday, because we talk about where we might be and what we believe the Lord is saying, where we're at. You know, I can't think of one thing that would stop Jesus from coming back right now, that somebody on this planet's not heard the gospel yet. The Bible says when the gospel preached and all there, then shall the end come.
Right.
But anyhow, I told him, I said, yeah, you know, I said there's a scripture. And I read it after me and Teresa had brought it up. They was 10 virgins. They was 10 virgins. 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. 5 of them didn't make it in. 5 of them did. They were all virgins.
Right.
We're the bride of Christ. Right?
Right?
Christians. You know, and I started thinking about it. I thought, man, when Jesus comes back, man, people's got to be after the Lord, doing the will of God, you know, fasting, praying, seeking the Lord, getting people saved. See if he can keep you caught up in all of your misery and your life and how pitiful you are and how bad it is and all of that. It's hard for you to believe that he can bring you out of that. Hallelujah. You've got to see beyond where you're at. And the only way you're going to do that is get that Bible and day and night, put it on your mirror. When you brush your teeth, you have to. Put it on your wrist. I have absolutely took the sticky stickers and had them on my dash and had them in my work truck at work and had them on the sun visor when the sun gets in my eyes. There's the word. Woo, yeah.
Hallelujah.
Forgot it was there until the sun got in my eyes. I mean, you know, I thought, Lord, I was such a failure. Lord, and your word says here that it'll make me victorious. And I thought, I want to be somebody. I don't want to be a loser. I don't want to be a bad husband. I want to be somebody that my wife wants to be with, wants to be around. Now, most of the time she does, most of the time. Still sometimes she'd tell me, get out of here. Go find you something to do. But I can attribute that, number one, to Jesus, but that word right there. God, help me to be a husband, Lord. Lord, I don't know how to be a father, Lord. Help me be a father. I want to be a father to my son. I don't have an example. I had a daddy, but he didn't, as far as I know, he didn't go to church. He didn't read the Bible, you know, in the house. I'm not saying he saved God. He couldn't read or write at all. Couldn't write his name. They used to take an X for the name. They'd write the name and X, and that's your mark, you know. And he went to the same grocery store because he knew where everything he wanted was. You know, he didn't go grocery shopping nowhere else, you know. So all of that, you know, when I got saved, I told the Lord, I said, Lord, I want to know how to be a real father. I want to know how to be a father to my son the way you see it. And you know basically what God told me, follow me. Simple. Just follow me. Then I found out that he is a father. And when I followed him, how he did me, and I did him that way. Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Give me that. I think it's Deuteronomy 30. I believe it is. Yeah. Here he told me, he said, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that thou both, thou and thy seed may live. He told him, he said, and I'm bringing out a point here. Things are not up to God in mine and your life. I know that's a big statement there. He'll only come in as far as you'll let him. He'll only come in where you open the door for him. You want him in your finances? What's the Bible say for you to do? You want him in your marriage? What's the Bible say for you to do? You want him in, the Bible says, wives, submit yourself to your husband as unto the Lord. That means Teresa just don't go off and make any kind of decision she wants by herself without, you know, major stuff. We talk things over. Husbands, you ought to be finding out and know what the will of the Lord is.
Right.
Man, y'all quiet.
Morning,
but this is what makes a good life.
Yeah.
The Bible says, husband, love your wife as Christ so loved the church. I mean, it's just really, really hard for me to put any kind of hardship on my wife that I can bear up under the pressure of. I'm not saying y'all follow me either. I'm just telling you what I, because, I, you know, I mean, back before I got saved, I was all about me and what I want and what I mean. I'm going to have what I want. What do you like? If you see me over in the weekend, you'll be lucky. I put myself first. But when I got born again, I'm asking the Lord to help me to be a good husband, you know. Well, then the Lord, first he told me, he said, go to work. Then over through the years, you know, I mean, I'm going out and I'm spending unnecessary money because I felt like I've been in tight so long, I'm buying me something when I get some money. And Teresa's down there at the house, and she's trying to figure out which bill to pay first because she ain't got the money to pay them all. And then she's telling me, man, you ain't right. You know, you're spending money on that, and you're spending money on that, and our light bill and all that. And I'm feeling like I'm giving into my emotions. You know, I'm feeling like, man, I'm not going to not have nothing. That's wrong. I come to the place, and then I said, okay, Lord, I repent. Praise God. Hallelujah. I said, I repent of that, Lord. I'm sorry that she's been having to try to figure out which bill is most needful bill to pay. And then I told Satan, I said, I will make different choices, Satan. You won't get me to do it anymore, but God. And I told the devil, I said, mark it in your calendar if you've got one. There's not many days from now she will not have to choose which bill to pay. You know what? She don't have to go. She just writes the bills and mails them now. Don't even have to think about it. Why? Because I started making different choices. I made a quality choice to do what that Bible says. I wasn't loving my wife. I was making choices to put hardship on her, the unnecessary hardship on her. And y'all wives can do the same thing. Yeah, your husband works. You don't clean the house. You don't do what you need to do. You got a conscience. Whatever your conscience, that the Lord uses your conscience.
Right.
Man. Every now and then, you know, I feel like, going there, you know, Sunday evening, I wash up the dishes, you know, because I'm like, my baby ain't going to start out first of the week with dirty dishes. She's resting today. You know, go in there. But I expect her to help me a meal cook. Come on, somebody. I expect her to have me a meal cook.
Right.
Now, if I want to cook, different story. But I expect her to take care of me. Wash my clothes. Make me smell good. She does. I don't know what she uses. I smell good. You know? But you know what? God did that. God started teaching her. I don't know why I'm doing that. It don't make me no difference. It's godly.
Hallelujah.
This is godly. God started telling her to honor me. Call me what she wants me to be instead of what she thinks I am.
Right.
So she started honoring me. She come in there and she said, you want long sleeve or short sleeve? I said, I believe I'll take long sleeve. Some women, they don't care what you want. They slap it out there and ain't iron nothing. At least you ain't going naked. Something wrong with that heart now, really. You need to change that. You want your man to look good for Jesus.
Yeah.
And don't say nothing, I won't know nothing. Hey, man, you know, I wouldn't serve God if he didn't keep me corrected.
Right.
I want him to.
Right.
The Bible says whom the Lord loves, he what?
Chastises,
corrects, gives instruction to. I wouldn't serve a God that just let me do anything I want to my demise and destruction. And destruction. He's a good God. And you know what? When I love my wife, it makes me happy. On the inside, it causes me to grow spiritually. It's a spiritual thing, you know? And it makes you feel good. It makes me feel good. Because then when the enemy comes, I'm like, come on. Come on over here. You're going to have to come here before you get to her. Every time she gets attacked, buddy, I get up on it with the word of God. I told her just the other day, I said, yeah, last thing's attacked. I said, I'm on it, baby. I'm on the word of God over you. I'm on the word of God. And she's on the word of God. They ain't going to need me to be on the word of God. She ain't. I'll just have to sit there and watch her. Well, when you get ready to get on the word, I'll help you. But I tell her, I don't go tell her when I don't feel good. She'll say,
are you put the word on it?
That's the first thing she does. That's a good woman.
Right.
Still saying, oh, you poor thing. Yeah, look at you. You look bad. Boy, you look bad. About dead. I went in the guy one day and he coughing a little bit or something. He wanted to always use my nasal spray, you know. His nose always stopped up. And I went in and I thought, I'm going to test this devil out. So I went over and I said, whoo, man. He said, what is it? I said, you look bad. He said, well, I feel rough. I said, you look real bad. He said, I feel real bad now. I'm convincing him, boy. I'm just helping him on with it. He started thinking.
Right.
I feel bad. I must look bad. I must really feel bad. He got the feeling bad, doesn't he?
Yeah.
Just because I'm telling him, you look bad. You look bad. Y'all all look good.
Amen.
Now, you've been looking rough, but you're looking good. Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all.
Amen.
But he said, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing, therefore choose life. We got to choose life. Choose healing. You got to make quality decisions based on the word of God that all things work together for your good and stand on it.
Right.
And confess it. And if you feel like the devil's over there at your house, he has no legal right to be at your house. Go over there, open the door, and tell him out in the name of Jesus. Get out!
Amen.
And then imagine him going out, which he is, and slam the door. I did it in my pickup one time. See, used to, I didn't care what people thought. Well, still, I don't. I do, but I don't. I mean, I'm going down the road and the devil's messing with me. I just slam on the brakes, slide off the side of the road, down the side of the road, throw it up in park and jump out and run around my truck, open the door and nearly cuss him and tell him to get out. I put him out of my truck on the side of the road and I slammed that door. The Bible says resist the devil and he'll flee. Well, that sounds stupid. That's why you're always defeated.
Right.
That sounds stupid. Well, try it. It feels good.
Amen.
It feels good when you put Satan where he's supposed to be, praise God.
Right.
Hallelujah. I told him one time when I was a real jealous man, you know, over Teresa. I want to be, look at her, man. She's beautiful. I got a beautiful wife. Always, you know. And I overcame that when I realized that jealousy was fear. I realized that being jealous wasn't jealous, like the world said. It was fear. I feared somebody having something I didn't. I feared them taking something that I loved. That was fear. And the Bible says God has not given me a spirit of fear. No. So I went around telling Satan, go ahead and try. You go ahead and try to get her to go with somebody else. Go ahead, Satan. I double dog dare you. You messed with the wrong one. I mean, I'm putting it in his face. I told him, I said, you know how she is when she's serving you. I said, and when she's serving you, ain't no man going to have her. When I'm serving Satan, ain't nobody wanting to be around me. But what I was doing, though, I wasn't talking about her or nothing. I was putting it up in Satan's face that I've been set free from it, and you can't intimidate me. The hunk can drive through in a convertible with blonde hair hanging back to the taillights, and black God, and she still can't get what's mine. He can't get what's mine. What I was doing was walking in the freedom where Christ had, Jesus has set me free. And I'm not jealous one bit. I like for guys to look at my wife. Yeah, see what I got. Serve the Lord, you get one that's like it. Feels good to be free.
Amen.
Absolutely feels good to be free. Hallelujah. But the Word of God's what does it. Quality decisions based on the Word. You got to make quality decisions about your finances. Saving money. Don't not save some money.
Right.
I don't know how I can do it. Quit dragging Mountain Dews.
Right.
They cost a dollar, don't they? Or more than that.
$2.
All I got to do to save money is don't get one of them losses every now and then. $2.30, I guess. No, mine's coffee. Cold coffee. $3. It's a bottle of coffee. Cold. $3 more time. Why are y'all doing drinking that?
Why is it cold?
It's cold, man. Yeah, we like it cold. No, save some money. Purpose to be a giver. Save some money. Well, I mean, it's $5 ain't enough to save. Oh, yes, it is. You save $5 for 20 years, $5 a week for 20 years. See, you got to think long term. You think they got just $5. No, that's $5. Teresa told me the other day, I told her, I said, you want to get some of that money out of savings and everything? First thing she comes out of her mouth,
well, you know, when you take it out, you got to pay tithes on it, don't you?
I'm like, oh, man, don't even think about tithes. It's still in the bank. That almost depressed you. Good God, take money out, you got to pay tithes on it. I think I paid tithes on it when I put it in there. But double tithing ain't bad.
Double blessing.
Double blessing, hallelujah. See, I found out in the Word of God where it says give and it shall be given. Now, when I first seen that, I didn't like it. Just like I didn't like, you know, love your enemies. I didn't like overcome evil with good. I really didn't like, you know, love your wife as Christ loved. I'm not telling you I just love hearing that. But I'm telling you something on the inside of me, you know, knew that if I would do, become a doer of the Word of God, that it would set me free, because it's already set me free. Jesus is the Word. Give and it shall be given. And I thought, well, man, you know what? I don't really like that. So I thought, well, I need to meditate on that. That's what. If meditating on it will make me successful, well, then I'm going to meditate on it. So I started meditating on it until I knew where it was at without going to the Bible. That's what meditating to me is. You know, you take the scripture you feel like the Lord wants you to learn, and you read it and read it and read it and read it without going to the Bible, until you can read it and quote it without going to the Bible. People want to know how you can quote scripture like that, because you study it. You know, I was in school first grade. And back then, when you did something that you wasn't supposed to do, they made you write 150 times. I will not do whatever I just done. Time I got done, I knew what I done. It wasn't no question why I was having to write that and what the consequences of that was. After 150 times, I could see it. That's in the first grade. You know, I believe they wanted me to know why not to do that again. That was punishment. But you take the Word of God, I mean, and that word, and I always hated reading. That was not my favorite. Math was my favorite subject. Reading was not it was not on top of my list. Spelling, reading, and writing. Sloppy. When I sign a check, they wonder who signed it. Travis followed me. Made David's check out one time, and when I got it back, I couldn't tell what it said. He takes pictures of it and deposits it somehow in the bank, you know. And they wouldn't even take it. So from then on, I'm like, I'll write David's check. Because when I got the check back, I'm like, good Lord, no wonder the bank couldn't figure out what that said. But now when it comes to the Word of God, there's an anointing for you to read it. There's an anointing where it'll renew your mind. It'll get down in your spirit. It'll help you to make quality decisions that will secure and straighten our futures out. Hallelujah. We got to make quality decisions, and we have to make them all the time. It's not you make one, you won't ever have to make another. This is something that needs to be ingrained in us, praise God. I was just telling David today, you know, been him riding, working a little bit, and I told him, I said, I've wanted to quit garage doors, especially since the pandemic. I've wanted to quit. I thought, man, I don't have to put up with all of this. All of these decisions that I've had to change and make and made it harder, and it was hard enough already, and then can't get garage doors and all kinds of things all the time happening, you know. And I was telling him, I said, you know, and I thought about, you know, just get me a job. Go clock in, clock out. I ain't got all this other stuff. But I don't think I went on and told him, but see, I would be out of the will of God. Right. I'm in the will of God. But I was just telling him that, you know, things come against all of us, and we want to quit. We want to give up, you know, and pressures, and want, you know, don't want to fight. And one thing that we got to do is fight for our right to have a good marriage, fight for our right, you know, to be financially successful. I've made up my mind, been confessing it here for years, you know, and hopefully you'll get a hold of it and walk in it too, where you'll believe that your future is not in your Social Security.
Right.
I mean, I believe in God that I will not have to live off of Social Security. I sure ain't going to live off of disability, because I can't find that disabled in the Bible. Amen. So I'm going to go ahead and just live that. Doctors kind of recommend signing up for disability when they had open heart surgery. And I'm like, nah, man, y'all trying to rob me. You're trying to rob me now. Praise God. I can go to work anywhere $100 a day. That's good money. $100 a day. Pay me $100. That's good money. Y'all quiet. That's $2,000 a month. I can live off that. My house payment ain't been $1,000. I'd have $1,000 left, right? Just don't blow it every week. People think they got, one dude comes to me, he says, yeah, I know how to do garage doors. He said, I need a job. I said, you know, I said, how much you think you got? I need $200 a day. I said, dude, you can't even make $200 a day. I told him, I said, I'll give you $100 for 12 hours. I thought I'd make it ridiculous like he made it ridiculous.
Right.
I'm going to work you 12 hours and I'll give you $100. Well, I used to work, man, listen, I used to work all year long for $13,000.
Yep.
All year.
Yeah.
Now times have changed. I don't care if they still did it. That's beside the point. I still did it. I work for $3.35 an hour. I wouldn't even get out of bed with that. We know it. But you know what I figured out? If I worked, I could make the payments on my truck. Because my brother, I bought one off my brother $50 a week. And you don't buy nothing off of him and don't pay one, baby. He will come get it. Glenn. Hey, buddy. You have some integrity, huh? Maybe pay my bills. But seriously, you know, we got to make quality decisions. I've made quality decisions that I'm not, and I'm increasing more and more. I got that out of Psalms 112, that he would increase me more and more, even my children, my seed, hallelujah. I can see Travis increasing more and more. Well, the Bible says it. It's called, you might think, well, it's because you're in business. Come try it and see.
Right.
You'll find out right quick it ain't because somebody owns their own business. Especially the last 2 years. It's the blessing of the Lord. Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. And here as we go into the last days, I believe Jesus is coming soon. I don't know when. No man knows the hour. But I'm telling you, the signs are here, nation against nation. The Bible says that because lawlessness will abound, that the love of many will wax cold. You can see that. Lawlessness means if I want to go to church, I'll go to church. If I want to pray, I'll pray. If I don't, I don't. Don't tell me I have to give. If I want to give, I'll give. I don't believe you have to go to church to be a good Christian, blah, blah, blah. That's lawlessness. That's no restraint. Lawlessness means people will have no restraint. You know, a Christian wants to shoot you a bird, they'll just shoot you one. Don't cuss you out, they'll just cuss you out.
Yeah.
It says, because that kind of stuff happens, the love of many will wax cold. The love of God will be weakened in our lives. We won't have love for our brothers and sisters like we should. We won't have love for our neighbor. We won't do unto others as you'd have them do unto you. We'll be like the world. I want to take every the lady today. She told me. She said she's one of my regular customers. She's selling her house, and she goes out there, and I put a battery in or something. Dave was fixing the door, garage door, you know. We go out there, and she said, listen, Scott. She said anything. She said I've got rid of all of this. I've sold all this down here. She said, but anything hanging up, I want to give you. I want you to have anything you want. I said, well, I don't want something for nothing. No, I want to give it to you. I go around through there, and I said, I looked at all of it, and I said, well, I just don't need none of it. I'm blessed, man.
Amen.
Ain't nothing I need hanging around in there, man. Her husband died, you know, she's selling out, moving to Florida or whatever. And I looked over there, and I looked. And there was a hole. I got a broom and a long shovel. I need it. I do need it. I said, what is that for? And she said, I don't know. But I looked at that hoe and I thought, I want that hoe. Well, I got a vision for the hoe. I got to make Audrey one. Sure.
Yeah.
She's going to find out what you call them blisters? Them blisters? Yeah, calluses and blisters. I got a little broom, short broom, because here for too long, she's going to have to start earning. She's got another tooth loose. And she told me, she said, Papa, I need $9 for it. I said, $9, baby? It went from 6, and I give her 7 for her second one. Now she went up to 9. Then I'm sitting there, and then she gets up in my lap looking at me. She said, I think I need 11 out of it. I said, don't go up $2 now. I told her, I said, Aubrey, I said, you're getting wealthy off them teeth, baby. I said, but the problem is you're spending it fast as you get it. Now, I'm going to save this other till I get that $9. She's stuck on $9 on that too. She'll be looking at that thing all week. She's snagging, gonna be all snaggled. She's after money with them teeth. Then I told her, I said, Aubrey, that's not right. I said, I paid you for the tooth, and then you give it to Mama, and she gets the tooth. I said, I'm buying the tooth, and you're getting to keep it. I said, that's not right, baby. Well, it is, Papa. I said, okay. But you know what? I seen that hoe, and it's worn down. I told David, I said, you know if the hoe has been worn down that much, that hoe has been used. I like them used ones. They've been used. And I'm like, man, somebody's been in that garden a long time with that hoe. And I've got it now. And now it's going to bless me. Hallelujah.
Right.
See, why am I telling you this? I'm not just telling you my story. I'm looking forward to this year. I'm looking forward to what's going to happen in our lives this year. There's going to things happen this year because you have fought the good fight and you are fighting the good fight of faith. That things are going to come to pass this year that you've been believing God for a long time for. He's going to bring it to pass. He's going to bring breakthrough after breakthrough. The world is going to get darker. It's going to get harder, more challenging. But I'm telling you, the Bible says, arise and shine, for the glory of the Lord is risen upon us. We've got no reason to be sad and discouraged of the things that's coming on the earth. We're to encourage ourselves in the Lord and stay mindful of that scripture, praise God, the scripture of victory. Victory is ours. The Bible says that He always leads us into victory in Corinthians. Always. You know, Habakkuk 2, he told Habakkuk, he said, write the vision, make it plain. You know, we need to be clear what we want. I mean, I'm really clear. I told the Lord, I mean, today I went in at 12, got midday, got off about 12 o'clock, I guess, and I'm headed home, and I said, thank you, Lord, for church tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Where, you know, I've been down there, we're like, God Almighty, church tonight. Whew, I'm wore out. You know, I'm going to have that excitement about the will of God. I want to be in the will of God. I want to be doing the will of God. We need to make quality decisions. Whatever we know to be the will of God, that we're going to make a quality decision to do the will of God in our lives. Whatever we believe to be the will of God. See, the will of God may be different for you. The will of God for me is to pastor. It's not for you to pastor. But whatever it is, it might be you mailing out, we're missing your cards. That's just that's the will of God. It's just as important as the pastoring, you know, or just going to the house of the Lord. If I feel like I'm barely making it. That's the will of God. Get up on the will of God. I'm not challenged about going to church. I don't whip that puppy. You know, I mean, I've had people before. I don't understand, man, how people can get in that place where they don't want to go to the house of the Lord. You know, I'm like, well, lay out a few times and you'll find out.
That's right.
You just lay out a few times and you'll find out. You won't have to wonder anymore. See, we got to make quality decisions. So I want to encourage you, you know, get up on the Word of God. Put it on your mirror. Put it on your mirror. You know, whatever you need to do, wherever's the worst time of your day, do something in there to change wherever you're at, the atmosphere. Put on some praise and worship. Put on some preaching, hallelujah. You know, turn on some preaching in your house. You know, meditate on the Word. I'll be going down the road sometime by myself, and I'll punch in Kenneth Hagin, Jr., the old man, and I put me on some Kenneth Hagin preaching 25 years ago. Boy, it's still good today. Sets the whole atmosphere of the day. Let's bow our heads. Father, we praise you.